You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September the 2nd, 2020, where is Waldo? I'm sorry, I misread that. Where is Biden? We know where he's going to be tomorrow. He's made it clear, I'm going to travel to Wisconsin. I'm going to go to the scene of this rioting and this viciousness that's taking place. Yes, it's a key state in the battle for the White House. So he's going to go in 2 days after Trump has been there. Somebody suddenly said, hey, Joe, get on a suit. Let us lead you to the car, get you on a plane. Let's get you to Wisconsin. 2 days late, Trump's already on to another territory. By the way, new campaign ads launched in 5 key early voting states, which do include Wisconsin and Minnesota. And it begins with saying, if you want peace, you don't want mobs. It pretty much says that. These new ads also playing in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, all early voting states. Now, a new survey out, two national polls conducted nearly entirely after last week's RNC indicate that Biden has an upper single-digit lead over President Trump. But an average of all national surveys, the White House race shows a margin is tightening. We still have a ways to go. But if Trump wins, Democrats have a plan in mind. You've heard Hillary Clinton already tell Joe Biden, on that night, do not concede. Do not concede. She said, you could win by 3 million votes and still not win. Look at me. It happened to me. Yep, she's still trying to make herself relevant. Well, now we have an analytics firm bankrolled by billionaire Michael Bloomberg and is predicting, okay, Trump will appear to win on November 3rd, but that will be a red mirage. You know what a mirage is? You're in the desert, you're dying of thirst, and you think you see an oasis with water, and it doesn't really exist. It's just a mirage. They are saying that on November 3rd, Trump winning, it will be a mirage. And how are they going to know that? Well, because they say that Joe Biden will actually win the election days later due to mail-in voting. You'd think they don't have a plan to stock and destroy ballots if they need to or add more? Take note of this. J.P. Morgan Chase & Company informing investors yesterday they need to prepare for rising odds as to who's going to win the election in 2020. And they're saying that even though many investors are preparing for a Joe Biden win, they need to be aware of the growing trends in Trump's favor, that Trump could win re-election in 2020, and the odds are showing more and more likely he will. There was a time when the Kennedy name in the Democrat Party carried so much cachet and pomp and circumstance, you didn't dare run against them. Senator Ed Markey in Massachusetts, in his 70s, 74 years old, serving in Congress for over 40 years, was being challenged by a Kennedy. He was being challenged by a 39-year-old Kennedy, who's related, of course, to JFK. The Kennedy didn't win. And he said, well, we'd rather lose fighting for what we believe in than go the way of what we're seeing on the other side. And you know what they're doing on the other side, Markey? Oh, he has signed on to the Green Deal plan. He's all about it. Take note of this. Maybe you already know it firsthand. Divorce rates spiking in the U.S., Divorce rates up 34% higher, they say, because of the coronavirus pandemic, as couples have been stuck at home. Now, I don't know what kind of issues you have in your home and everything would be good, but you put people together for that period of time, you won't let them go out and go anywhere, and maybe they're afraid to go anywhere. Maybe it begins as silence, maybe it begins to get a little bit more difficult. And to that extent, you'd have to feel bad for them. It could be unemployment, financial strain, death of someone who got COVID, illness, homeschooling children. A lot of those put strains on relationships. But right now, divorce rates rocketing 34% higher.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Lawless criminals terrorize Kenosha. Joe Biden takes a knee. Biden and the radical left's weak response has led to chaos and violence, and their calls for defunding police would make it worse. President Trump is making it stop, sending National Guard and federal law enforcement to protect Wisconsin's families. Communities, not criminals. Jobs, not mobs. Strong leadership when America needs it most.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
And that is one of the new ads being rolled out by the Trump 2020 campaign. Launching new ads in 5 key early voting states today. And that includes Wisconsin, Minnesota, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina. And they're going after them in those 5 key states because they're going to be, they expect clearly, a lot of early voting. I mentioned in news and commentary, and I mentioned in the last hour, in case you missed it, that there is a Bloomberg-funded group called Hawkfish, funded by Bloomberg, currently working with various pro-Biden super PACs. And they are predicting a red mirage on November 3rd. You might see Trump win that night. But they say, hold on, it ain't over. We're not talking about some large lady singing. We're talking about more mail-in votes being counted. I'm looking at a piece here where the ACLU says it will fight to count mass mail-in ballots even if the signatures don't match voter rolls. Now, what the hell does that tell you? That tells you there will be out-and-out fraud everywhere they can. They will be sending in mass mail-in ballots, requesting them to get ballots, then maybe going to homes and addresses where people are dead or deceased, but they'll be picked up, and put in hands of people that will go and fill them out. I will remind you, if you illegally sign a voting ballot claiming to be someone and you're not, you are guilty of a federal crime in this election. A federal crime. You want to take that chance? Well, maybe you're already involved in federal crimes. You just don't care. Maybe you want to see more violence and rioting in the streets. That ad you just heard says we need to put an end to that. And Trump was in Kenosha, Wisconsin yesterday again saying mob violence has to stop.
Violent mobs demolished or damaged at least 25 businesses, burned down public buildings, and threw bricks at police officers. These are not acts of peaceful protest, but really domestic terror.
Domestic terror. $2 million damage just in Kenosha. $2 million in Kenosha. By the way, the word is coming out of Seattle. When they started going into one of those Chaz Chop areas that they had taken over earlier this year, back in early June, they finally closed it on June 30. Activists were still occupying it through the month of August, but finally they got them to move out. You know what they found in these tents where folks were just supposedly gathering to sing Kumbaya and talk about the great things we can do with this nation if we'll just get away from Donald Trump and his divisiveness, we'll all have peace. You know what they found? They looked at the trash they were going through. They discovered spike strips, numerous weapons, hatchets, machetes, large knives, makeshift shields, and other weapons. They were not there for any peaceful measure. They never were. But again, the Biden-Trump campaign, the Biden campaign has been unsure what to do. The Democrats unsure. I was reading in the last hour for you a piece from Victor Hansen that he did for National Review. I'm going to go back over some of the points. But before I do, let me take you back to that. Biden is going to be going to Kenosha himself Thursday, 2 days after Trump was there. And he's going to go because he realizes it's important I get out there in these scenes and do it. Now, even though I'm going late, 2 days after Trump, I'm going to go do it. You got some inside the Democrat Party that really don't want this violence. I know there are good people in the Democrat Party who do not want all this violence in the streets. They may detest Trump, but they see this is not the way you get things done. But they're having to keep their mouths shut for fear they will be attacked next. And I'll ask flat out, I wonder how many homes in various neighborhoods have out on their yard Black Lives Matter signs. It's there to prevent violence to their home. Much as in some communities you have signs spray painted on a building, black owned, minority owned. In other words, please don't burn us down, attack us. With Don Lemon, Fruitcake, and Chris Cuomo, last month, began to recognize this violence continues and it's being ignored by the left, and it's going to be to their peril for Biden and the camp to just not pay attention to it.
I do think that this, what you said, what's happening in Kenosha is a Rorschach test for the entire country. And I think this is a blind spot for Democrats. I think Democrats are ignoring this problem or hoping that it will go away. And it's not going to go away. And so, unless someone comes up with a solution over the next 73 days, or 70 so, however many days.
68 days.
So it's not going to, the problem is not going to be fixed by then. But what they can do, and I think maybe Joe Biden may be afraid to do it. I'm not sure. Maybe he won't. Maybe he is. He's got to address it. He's got to come out and talk about it.
And you know why? Because the polling numbers are showing it is becoming a big, big issue for voters. I'd had on the air last week John LaBoutière, former U.S. congressman from New York. And I told him, I said, and I might have been a little over the top. I said, this issue of rioting and violence in our streets is going to be the issue that's going to define this election. Oh, no, no, Larry, it's not going to be that. It's going to be COVID. It's going to be jobs, the economy. That's going to be part of what that you're suggesting, but it's not going to be the driving issue. And I said, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't say it's going to be the prime issue, but it's certainly in play. The more I watch this, I think it is really a prime issue. Again, let me take you back to a piece written by Victor Hansen. He wrote it for the National Review, Victor Davis Hansen. And he's talking about this whole problem for Joe Biden dealing with violence. He's saying, is Biden so compromised by the politics of his own nomination that he cannot fault Antifa, BLM, and by association, the left-wing, local, blue state district, attorneys general, city councils, mayors, and governors who appease and encourage the urban war zones? And he goes on to say the subtext is that to win, Biden needs, you hear that word, needs the radical vote, the identity politics vote, the Sanders vote to make up for the deplorables, the clingers, the irredeemables, or rather irredeemables of the key swing states who are never again going to vote. Well, Biden and Harris did sit down recently and kind of did a little chat like, we got a handle on this now. But as you listen to them, you might as well be sitting down with your four-year-old girl and her serving you tea and acting like you're getting tea and biscuits. Just listen.
I really believe that the vast majority of the American people are truly decent.
Yes.
I think they're angry right now. Yeah. I think they're fed up. I think they're looking for some authenticity and some honesty.
We're better than this.
We are. I'm really excited you're willing to do this.
I am very excited about it. We're going to get this done, Joe.
Oh, we're going to get it done, Joe. And we're authentic. It reeks of insincerity, does it not? I often joke, in this business, if you can fake sincerity, you got it made. If I can be a reporter on the scene of a disaster and a tragedy, and if I can emote the empathy and the hurt and the pain and how it breaks me down to even have to do the story, it's, you're going to love the story. You're going to eat it up. And there are reporters who do that. And I'll have to admit there have been a couple times in the past where I've been on the scene of some kind of tragedy and reporting it, and or even from the anchor desk, and I have had to find a way to stop and draw another breath, and because what I envision is not the story even I'm reading. I see my children in that situation, and it does bring a halting response. Some people might have thought I was being insincere and play acting, but it wasn't. But of course, they're entitled to their opinion. But I do know that kind of stuff exists. And many who want to be on the national networks, they've got to emote all of this stuff. And emotion is what bridges the gap. So once again, back to the article by Victor Hansen in National Review. He said America is being held hostage by thugs in the street and in reaction blackmailed by the Democrat Party. The street brigades and their various enablers know they represent a key constituency in the new Socialist Democrat Party. And so they will riot and burn until Election Day in the belief, as narcissists, that they are winning converts. But also in their surety that Biden will be elected by the sheer chaos they spawn on Trump's watch. Well, mainstream media, CNN and Lemon and Cuomo, they don't see that.
He's got to come out and tell people that he is going to deal with the issue of police reform in this country, and that what's happening now is happening under Donald Trump's watch, on Donald Trump's watch. And when he is the president, Kamala Harris is the vice president, then they will take care of this problem. But guess what? The rioting has to stop. Chris, as you know and I know, it's showing up in the polling.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing up in focus groups. It is the only thing, it is the only thing right now that is sticking.
I just need to drive home the point again that they are building it all on polling points because they realize that's sticking and it is hurting the Biden campaign. And Victor Hansen mentioned that conversation between Cuomo and Lemon they had the other day. But in concluding his article, he said, what you have is the more venomous Antifa and BLMA remnants will still try to up the ante, torch, loot, shoot, maim, and wreck all the way to the suburbs. The result is Biden will wage a half campaign, issue serial half lamentations about the violence because he has become a half candidate. Like his media and party enablers, he still has no idea whether the violence helps him or hurts him, whether it's good or bad for the country, whether the left-wing base is a bit too much at times or dangerous. So like all half things, Biden will split the difference and ends up saying half of nothing. As I said, I wanted to get Victor Hansen on to discuss it in detail, but I certainly wanted to share that. It appears in National Review. All right, now a mainstream media person is under attack by the left. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Eaters, let's say in the Muslim world, talk a lot of violent talk and encourage their supporters to be willing to commit violence, including on their own bodies, in order to win against whoever they decide is the enemy. We in the U.S. media describe that as they are radicalizing those people, particularly when they're radicalizing young people. That's how we talk about the way Muslims act.
And she went on to say, when you see that what Donald Trump is doing, is it any different from what we describe as radicalizing people? Those are the words of MSNBC host Joy Reid. I'm going to let you hear the bite again in a moment. But what she said suddenly sparked a fire of protest among Muslims in the U.S. Congress and elsewhere. One of them, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota, civil rights attorneys and other advocate organizations also joining with her, upset that Joy Ann Reid, a black woman with a new position at MSNBC, would take her program and compare the supporters of President Donald Trump to, quote, the way Muslims act. Omar in a tweet said, honestly, this kind of casual Islamophobia is hurtful and dangerous. We deserve better and an apology for the painful moment for so many Muslims around our country should be forthcoming. Zakir Khan, board chair of the Council on American Islamic Relations in Oregon, said that Reid's remarks were, quote, so unbelievably Islamophobic, it's ridiculous, and asked, are you planning to apologize after you stereotype an entire group of Muslims? Then you got a civil rights lawyer saying this isn't even subtle. It's blatant Islamophobia. Muslim Advocates, a civil rights organization, calling for an apology from Reid for spreading the false, dangerous myth that Muslims are inherently radical and violent, and suggesting the MSNBC needs to take action to ensure anti-Muslim bigotry has no place on its network. And Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, Democrat of Michigan, siding with all of them. What again did she say? Just listen.
Leaders, let's say in the Muslim world, talk a lot of violent talk and encourage their supporters to be willing to commit violence, including on their own bodies, in order to win against whoever they decide is the enemy. We in the U.S. media describe that as they are radicalizing those people, particularly when they're radicalizing young people. That's how we talk about the way Muslims act. When you see what Donald Trump is doing, is that any different?
Is that any different? Well, see, I do disagree with that. And I would also agree that when we talk about Muslims, we're not talking about Muslims. We're talking about radical Muslims. We're talking about jihadist Muslims. But that's what she said. Any conservatives say that? They'd be axed off the air immediately and major apologies. So far, crickets. Nancy Pelosi and her hairstyle coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
That little video should be the video of 2020 because that sums up, with no audio, it sums up exactly what the Democrats have decided to do, which is do as I say, not as I do. She's now claiming she didn't know what the policy was. You'd think that the Speaker of the House might know what the policy is. But this stuff is not a joke because it is destroying people's livelihoods.
Those are the words of Dave Rubin, author of Don't Burn This Book. He's talking about Nancy Pelosi. Video of Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, visiting a San Fran hair salon yesterday afternoon for a wash and blowout. Ladies, you know what a blowout is. Last time I blew out my hair, I lost all of it, so I don't do that anymore. But local ordinances still say those salons had to be closed. Now, they were willing and open as of September 1, only for outdoor hairstyling services only. Nothing inside. They had to stay closed. And if you're getting a color, which Nancy apparently was getting a new red added to her hair or additional red, you can't do that outside because of the toxic chemicals. They wouldn't want you to do it. It's to be done only in the store. It's stamped on the video 3:08 Pacific time. She's walking through the salon. Her hair is wet, does not have a mask over her mouth or nose. Someone following her has a mask, and someone who's there before in the video also has a mask. And supposedly she's the only one in there. But the rule is You cannot go to a salon and get your hair done. You can do it outside. But Nancy, I'm Speaker of the House, you know. Trump obviously jumped on it, tweeting, crazy Nancy Pelosi being decimated for having a beauty parlor open when all the others are closed and for not wearing a mask, despite constantly lecturing everyone else. We will almost certainly take back the House and send Nancy packing. I certainly hope so. These salons, hair salons in San Fran, have been closed since March. The salon owner releasing the video saying, I'm only sharing this because of what everyone in my industry and my city is going through right now. A message from the hairstylist to the salon owner that he would open the salon to provide House Speaker Pelosi services. The statement was, I was like, are you kidding me right now? Did I let this happen? What do I do? While noting she can't control what her stylists do if they rent chairs from her, and they're not paying at this time, so a hairstylist decided to take Nancy and book her. He's already preset the previous day, saying in a text message that was sent to the stylist, I'll be there 2:45 tomorrow. The owner of the salon says this is a slap in the face. She went in and feels she can just go in and get her stuff done when no one else can. I can't work. She said we're supposed to look up to this woman, right? It's disturbing. And pointing out that, look, this has been hard for everybody. I got a $12,000 paycheck protection program loan created to help businesses stay afloat. We reconfigured our salon. We put in plexiglass partitions, moved the salon chairs so they're all 6 feet apart, proper air circulation, and they still wouldn't let us open. And yet she was able to come in here and get a style and a blowout. I've lost people, clients, my employees. And yet we got the homeless defecating all over the city, and we have to put up with this. This woman thinks she has the power, the authority, the privilege, the Nancy Pelosi white privilege to come in and get her hair styled. Again, some remarks from Dave Rubin about this elitist attitude.
Nancy Pelosi is pretending that she either didn't know what the policy was that she helped put into place, or that she didn't even know that the salon was closed just for her. I mean, she didn't think it was odd that nobody else was there. We're realizing that we have a political class who wants to operate one way, while the rest of us are going to have to scrounge for our survival.
That's exactly right, and a lot of them are not going to be able to survive. And yes, the response from Nancy Pelosi's came from her spokesman, not her. In fact, when reporters tried to grab her for an interview earlier today, as she got out of the car, she quickly bolted, went to wherever she wanted to go. Don't have time, don't have time. My hair looks nice, though, doesn't it? But the spokesman for Pelosi said, the speaker always wears a mask. That's an out-and-out lie. We just saw it. But anyway, goes on, the speaker always wears a mask and complies with local COVID requirements. Again, that's a lie. We saw it on the tape. And then the spokesman said, this business offered for the speaker to come in on Monday, told her they were allowed by the city to have one customer at a time in the business. The speaker complied with the rules as presented to her by this establishment. But again, the salon owner says, no, I didn't give her permission. One of the ladies that has a chair here and is working here, she had Nancy come in. Nancy should have refused if she's going to be like the rest of us, but she's not like the rest of us. Do you folks not get it yet? If you're not among the elite, you don't exist. It is the hypocrisy of the left that continues to anger me more than anything else many times. Let me give you another example very quickly. Mayor Ted Wheeler, Portland mayor, having a city night after night of violence, and then 200-plus went to his condominium building the other day, staging a protest calling for him to resign. And you know what he tweeted out? He said, well, everyone deserves to feel safe in their community. But last night I saw more senseless violence in Portland. And here's what he added. A police officer was filmed repeatedly striking an individual at a protest. Even the building where I live, along with dozens of other families, was violently attacked. These acts range from stupid to dangerous to criminal. The violence must stop. The police said the guy was insisting on trying to get into the building, among those trying to start a fire in the mayor's condominium building. And he criticizes the police officer who tackled the rioter, tackled him, and held him down until they got control of him. The officer struck the rioter because he resisted arrest and even got the helmet off the officer. But do you think the mayor of Portland would say, thank you, sir, for your service in protecting me? No, no. I'm going to criticize you because you tackled him and you shouldn't have done that. Oh, and here's another footnote to that story. The mayor of Portland is relocating. He's moving. He's going to go somewhere else. No, he's not telling anybody where he's going to go, at least not people that might get the word out. Privilege. They want to talk about privilege. It's a privilege of the hypocrisy, hypocritical left. We have seen how sports teams have and sports events have been decimated, not just by the virus, but social justice issues. I don't know how many folks have told me they could care less about the Cardinals anymore because MLB is featured on the mound. I've had the same said about other events. And, of course, the NBA, where it's been predominant with the players willing to wear different things on their backs with social justice. Latest ratings for the NBA show they're failing. And the most woke team of all, the L.A. Lakers, having the lowest rated game of their series. Nobody is watching or caring. NASCAR the other day, ratings were looking pretty good. It began with a singing of the Pledge of Allegiance and every driver with a mask standing there, hand or hat over heart. Even Bubba Wallace did the same. I take it back. I don't know if Bubba Wallace was in that video. I need to take that back. But otherwise, sports figures can write what they want. Well, I want to share this with you. There's a Jacksonville Jaguars tight end, Tyler Eifert. He's going to wear the name of someone on his helmet that's been killed during all this violence. Because the NFL said, yeah, you can wear slogans or names of victims. He's one of a few daring to express patriotic feelings. He boldly announced back in 2016, I'm not going to be taking a knee. He said, I stand because I want to honor the people putting their lives on the line for me on a daily basis in the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard. And now he's going to wear the name of someone killed during the riots. You know who it's going to be. He is going to wear the name of murdered St. Louis police captain, retired David Dorn. Honoring David Dorn for what he did for his community in all those years serving as a police officer and then killed by rioters, shot down while it's being live streamed as he went to protect a friend's business. Take a break, and when we come back, I want to share some excerpts of a book coming out. I think it's going to be a pretty big book. That'll be up to you to make that decision. The left will be burning it. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So there's a new book coming out, and I told you about the elite hypocrisy, the liberal privilege Nancy Pelosi was exhibiting when she went to go get her hair done the other day. That's really not a story in many ways. It just isn't. And yet it is, because it just shows that they will do what they want and tell you to do what they tell you to do, and you better do it. There's a new book coming out. It's available now, titled Liberal Privilege, Joe Biden and the Democrats' Defense of the Indefensible. And some of the things coming out in the book, some of the excerpts, let me read a couple of them. If you vote for Joe, who's really going to be in power? Many people feel they're simply voting for whatever Democrat is on the ticket. But we need to be asking, why would the DNC want such a weak Joe Biden in office? Scary thought. What if it's just because they know they can control him? Through him, whatever liberal has wrestled control behind the scenes could get their leftist wish list by pulling hapless Uncle Joe's strings. Is he really the best they've got? Or he is just the easiest to control? And then adding, do you really want conniving Nancy Pelosi, who shamelessly shipped billions of untold liberal pork into stimulus packages, pulling Biden's strings? It could be just as easily be an imbecilic and incoherent babbler, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and her idiotic Green New Deal. What about crying Chuck Schumer, crazy Maxine Waters? How about Ilhan Omar, her reckless comments about wanting to, quote, dismantle our entire system? Dear God, no. What it will be, whichever Democrat happens to be the thought leader and headline leader, like a Rashida Tlaib? Do you want these people manipulating this president? He goes on to say, the author of this book, Biden just isn't right in the head or in his direction. He's the only guy who didn't want to go kill the mass-murdering terrorist Osama bin Laden. Those are quotes, an excerpt from the book, Liberal Privilege, Joe Biden and the Democrats' Defense of the Indefensible, written by Donald Trump Jr. And I mentioned this earlier, and I want to go back over it again. I had told you that once they start tearing down statues on anything that they claim is racist or anti-history, they want to wipe out history. It's not a good idea. And I point constantly to the Holocaust Museum. I mean, if you really wanted to wipe out a part of history and forget that something terrible, dangerous, deadly happened, the Holocaust Museum shouldn't exist, but it does. Slavery was a sin on this nation, clearly. I was not responsible for it, and I don't know if anybody alive or even two generations back who were directly involved in it. You might. But once you start ripping down history, you're not going to stop. And in D.C., Washington Examiner has a title, D.C. Mayor Has a Problem with Ben Franklin and the Washington Monument. Here's what they've been doing. There's been a panel pulled together, a committee, to look at the various buildings and monuments in D.C. that should be either renamed or reconstituted or contextualized, whatever that means, because of race, slave titles, issues, whatever. Christopher Columbus Fountain, one of them. The Benjamin Franklin statue, Andrew Jackson statue, Thomas Jefferson, Jefferson Memorial, the George Mason Memorial, the George Washington Monument, and the George Washington statue, plus Alexander Graham Bell, Francis Scott Key. Tear them all down in D.C. Deface them. Destroy them. They still haven't said what they're actually going to do, but they're going to. And that includes Jefferson Field, named for Thomas Jefferson. Still not clear why they went after Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin, as a matter of fact, when it comes to this kind of stuff, Ben Franklin was a scientific pioneer who led serious abolitionist efforts in the late 1700s. But they don't know or care about history. And then they had gone and really done it now. Vandals at Graceland overnight. Vandalized with graffiti messages, defund MPD, Memphis Police Department, abolish ICE, BLM. Spray painted on Graceland. Even the Lavette Shell stage, the amphitheater where Presley gave his first paid concert, also vandalized. Graceland, of course, the site where rock legend Elvis Presley resided and died. And now they are filling it with graffiti. Do they not know that Presley actually helped advance black music? His style helped do it. He was taking from the black music. Unfortunately, some of the black musicians did not get all the credit they should have for music he got because he was a bigger star. Maybe that's why they did it. I can't even begin to explain it. It is stepping on blue suede shoes, though. If you know that song, you know what I mean. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.